Okay, we're going to start here on the middle of Mem Daled Amud Bet by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol nishba'im shebatorah. The Torah, when the Torah obligates an individual to take a shvuah, nishba'im velo mishalmim. Then they take a shvuah in order to be poter themselves from a monetary obligation. So here, we're going to learn this in the Gemara, what the source for this is, but generally, a person has an option of either compensating or paying money, or taking a shvuah and being patur. So the shvuah that's known in the Torah, the shvuah to the Torah, is in order for the person to be patur, not to obligate or enable the person to collect money. On the other hand, ve'elu nishba'im v'notlin. There are midrabanon individuals who can take a shvuah and then notlim and then collect based on that shvuah. Who are these individuals? Hasachir, v'anigzal, v'anechbal. So we're talking about someone who is a wage earner, an exal, someone who was stolen from, v'anechbal, someone who was injured, u'shekenegdo chashur al shvuah, or in an instance where the individual who's supposed to take the shvuah is unable to take the shvuah because they are not trusted to take a shvuat emet, v'enchenvani al pinkaso. In the case of a chenvani who is taking a shvuah about what is contained within his pinkas, again, we will see in a second in the Mishnah, we'll go through each of these items to explain what exactly the case is, and then the Gemara itself will actually elaborate on these items. Tosu says that the list is not exhaustive. We have other instances where a person is nishba vinotel, and why is it over here that the Gemara or the Mishnah only enumerates these items? So Tosus tries to explain here that these are cases that the instances here or the mentioned our Mishnah are situations in where the other individual couldn't take the Shavuah. They're Nishba v'notel because there was no possibility of Nishba v'niftar, that the person couldn't take the Shavuah and be poter himself. Therefore, we enable the individual or the party who has the claim here to take the shvuah and then be notel the kesef that they deserve. Now the Mishnah goes, a sachir. What's the case of sachir? Ketzad, amar lo ten li schari. The wage earner, the poel, the worker comes and says, please give me my wages. Sheish li biadecha, that you're holding of mine. Hu omer natati. The balabait says, I gave them already. V'hal omer lo natalti. So, and the wage earner or the worker says, I did not receive my compensation yet. Harizen nishba v'notel. This sachir here, this wage earner can go ahead, take a shvuah and accept or get the money that he deserves. Rabbi Yehuda omer, achdei sham miksat hoda'a. That Rabbi Yehuda says, and Rabbi Yehuda is going to recur in our Mishnah numerous times. Rabbi Yehuda basically suggests that the shvuah of nishba v'notel is only in an instance where there would have been a shvuah on the nidva, on the defendant over here, the one whose claim is being made against. If they were able, if they have to take a shvuah in order to be poter themselves, then the chachamim flipped that shvuah onto the claimant and said, you take the shvuah and notel, nishba v'notel. But you have to have at least a shvuah in existence, a shvuah that the nidva is chayav to take, and then you can flip it onto the toveya. So how can you have an instance where the nidva, the defendant over here, is in obligated to take a shvuah? So that the Gemara says, well, here's the case according to Rabbi Yehuda, is ketzad. What is that? That he went ahead, amar lo ten li schari, 50 dinar, please pay me my 50 dinar kesef that you owe me for my wage, sheish li biadecha that you're holding on to, v'hu omer yitkabalt a dinar zahav, you already claimed, or you already got half of it. A dinar zahav, according to this, a dinar hazav is equal to 25 shekel kesef, is equal to 25 dinar a kesef, and therefore two zehuvim, two dinarei zahav would actually equal up to the 50 shekel kesef that he's owed over here. So when the balabait responds, I gave you a dinar zahav, that means I gave you half of what you were entitled to. If that's the case, then the balabait is chayav because of modu miksat to take a shvuah. In that case, Rabbi Yehuda says, we flip the shvuah onto the sachir, onto the wage earner, and say to him, you take the shvuah, vinotel, and then you collect your money. The Gemara again will explain why. Over here, there's a tosos over here, brings down the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam appears in numerous places in Shas, including Tubot, Bava Metzia, Zvachin, Bechorot, that the Rabbeinu Tam is bothered by the fact that the relationship over here between gold and silver does not seem to conform to what he sees in his time. Meaning that the Gemara now is indicating that the value of gold is 25 times the value of silver. For one gold coin, you will receive 25 silver coins or dinarei kesef. Remember, in their time, the coinage or the currency was based on the actual metal that was forged or minted into the coin. Therefore, when you're talking about a gold coin, you're talking about the real gold. And when you talk about silver coins, they're real silver. And so based on that, the exchange between gold and silver would be the rate or the price differential between gold and silver. If that's the case, gold was then at a 25 times premium or 25 times the amount of silver. Rabbeinu Tam says, you know, in our time, we see that the silver-gold ratio is only at 10 to 12 times, but not up at 25 times. So for that reason, the Rabbeinu Tam explains over here and many other places that the coin that we're speaking about here, the gold coin, is not the same size as the silver coin. It's actually twice the size, twice the thickness of a silver coin. So the gold coin, which is thicker than a silver coin, actually has the value of two gold coins. And therefore, when you say that there are 25 dinari kesef inside of a gold coin, that gold coin is really worth two gold coins. So that means that, in essence, each gold coin, if it was of equal weight to the silver, would actually generate 12.5 dinari kesef. And then together, it creates a 25 dinari kesef. Now the problem, or 12, the Rabbeinu Tam actually says it's 12 over here, to get to 24, and then the extra dinar, which is the 25th dinar, is actually to be mefaret. It gives the ability to break the money down, break the zahav down from the 25 dinar kesef into 24 individual dinar kesef from one dinar zahav. So that's the shita of the Rabbeinu Tam. I've enclosed for you the mekorot, where the Rabbeinu Tam gets the shita from, what he bases it on, some of the problems with the shita, and then I give you the historical graphs in the handouts here, the historical graphs of what the ratio between gold and silver was. It's true that at the time of Rabbeinu Tam, it was about 12 times, and before that time, and subsequent time, was pretty stable at that level. Later on, especially in our era, the value of silver has been much more volatile than gold, and that ratio has changed dramatically over time, and today it runs in about the 60 to 65 range times. So what Rabbeinu Tam considered to be almost impossible at 25 times, today is considered to be normal at 60 to 65 times. Nevertheless, it's interesting to see the historical data that supports Rabbeinu Tam's position in his time, that it was only at 12 times, and therefore the Rabbeinu Tam goes out of its way to explain the Gemara, or the relationship between the Dinar Zahav and Dinar Kesef, based on that relationship that he's familiar with. Nigzal. What's the case of Nigzal? Ketzet. Ayu mei dimoto shenichnas lebeit olam ashkeno. They had a dut that he went into the house in order to take a mashkon, shelo birshut, without permission. Hu omer, the debtor says, kalai, kelai, natalto, you took some of my kelim in order to be mashkon. Hu omer lo natalto, he says, I did not take any kelim. Hu nishba v'notel. Over here, the claimant, the loved, the borrower, the debtor over here, takes a shvua of what the malveh, the creditor, walked out with, and then he can take it. The Gemara will explain why, or what the circumstance is that we're worried about him walking out with something, or why he has to take the shua here. Yehuda Meir, again, Rabbi Yehuda stipulates, Achitesha miksat hoda'ah. You have to have at least some sort of miksat hoda'ah to generate a modu miksat shua, meaning the oraisa, to flip it and be nishba v'notel. Ketzad, Melo shnei kelim natalta. The balabayit, the loveh, the debtor says, you took two of my vessels. But the malveh says, yes, I did take collateral, but I only took one item. So therefore, he's a modem miksat. Since he's a modem miksat, then there's a shua d'oraita on him, because he's a modem miksat. We flip that shua midrabanan onto the borrower and say to him, nishba v'notel, take a shua, and then you can collect whatever it is that you think was stolen over here. Nechba, what's the case of someone who's injured? Ketzer, ayu meidimoto shenichnas tachad yado shalem. People witnessed the fact that when he entered this room or this house, he was fine, he was healthy, everything was fine. Biyatzah chavu, and he came out, and there was some sort of injury that occurred between the time that he entered the house and time he left. Barmelo chavalt bi, and he says to this individual, you hurt me, you injured me. And the other individual denies the fact. He says, I never touched you. I never caused you any damage. The one who was injured over here is able to take a shua and collect based on that shua. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, again, Rabbi Yehuda has this requirement or stipulation that it must be that there's a modem miksat case. Says, you injured me twice, or the value of two. Only injured you once, or only injured the value of one. So here is modem b'miksat. Since there's a shvua d'oraita, we flip it onto the nechbal, the one who was injured, and he takes the shvua to extract the money. Again, the Gemara will discuss why it is in this case that he can take a shvua vin notel. Another instance like that is a situation in which the other party is nechshar la shvua. I mean, the other party should be the one taking the shvua, but they're unable to take the shvua because they are chashud. So therefore, the chachamim flipped that shvua onto the other individual, to the claimant, onto the Toveya, in order to have him be Nishba Vinotel. So, okay, so what's the case? Achat Shvuat Ha'idut, v'achat Shvuat Ha'Pikadon. Whether a person is not trusted to take a Shvuah because he has lied by a case of Shvuat Ha'idut, or he has lied by a case of Shvuat Ha'Pikadon. Here is where it involves both a Shvuat Sheker and a denial of a monetary obligation, or some sort of obligation to another party. V'afilu Shvuat Shav. Mishnah says, even in a case of Shvuat Shav, which the Gemara will discuss, what does it mean, afilu Shvuat Shav? It means even though the Shvuat Shav only involves lying, or ra, la kodesh baruch hu, it doesn't involve ra lebriot. Maybe this person can be trusted when it comes to interactions between people. Nevertheless, if he takes a Shvuat Shav, or he's willing to take a Shvuat Shav, we no longer believe him, he loses that nemanut. Now, if in these, all these instances, we flip the Shvuah to the other party, to the Toveya, because he's able to take the Shvuah, whereas the untrustworthy party over here is unable to take the Shvuah. So now, additional types of psulot, we have Mesachake Bekubya, those that play or gamble. Rashi over here again suggests that the problem here, Mesachek Bekubya, is Asmachta Lo Kanyo. That is that these types of situations or betting situations where the kinyanim are not final or not well thought out, and therefore it's a kimat gezel when they take it away because the person really never intended to give up their money. So therefore, that's why these people who are mesachek bekubya are considered not to take or not able to take a shvuah et emet or to believe in edut because what is described as stealing from others through the gambling process. It's interesting again that Rashi brings down that interpretation of mesachek bekubya, whereas we paskin or generally the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, which says me that they're not osok be tikuno shel olam or yishuvo shel olam. Individuals who are gambling don't understand the human interaction and what humans have to do in order to settle the world and to be productive. Here he's doing something that's totally unproductive in the world by gambling. So therefore, he's not believed over here. He's not, because we don't trust him in terms of the way that he thinks about other people or the way he views other people's money, is because he does not involved in what normal civilized people would do. Rather, he's involved in a gambling or in a game that does ignores the feelings of others and really ignores the need for Yishuvo Shel Olam. The malveh beribit, those that lend out money with interest, and machvichei yonim, those that raise the yonim, ve'socharei shvi'it, and those that do business with the perot shvi'it, ushekenegdo nishba v'notel. In all these instances, these parties are not believed to take a shvuah, therefore nishba v'notel. These parties are all psulim dirabanan. If you remember, we did this in the beginning of Sanhedrin. These items or these individuals are psulei edut, but psulei edut mi dirabanan, rasha, someone who is a chashud midoraisa, like someone who takes a shvat shav, or a shvat pikadon, or lies by shvat pikadon, shvat dayan. In all these cases, they are pasul midoraita because they are rasha. On the other hand, here we're talking about people who are not pasul midoraita, but these are all isurim dirabanan or problems dirabanan. But over here, the rabbanon said these people are mufka from the parsha of edut, mufka from the parsha of taking shvot because they're not believed, and therefore we flip the shvot on to the other party, and he's nishba v'notel. Hayushnehem chashudim. What happens if both parties are unable to take the shvuah because both of them are disqualified from taking a shvuah? Chazra shvuah limkoma. The shvuah goes back to its place. Divir Rabbi Yosi. That's what Rabbi says. Rabbi Meir Omer yachloku. They should split it. The Gemara will discuss what does it mean. Chazra ha shvuah limkoma in the Gemara. Ben chambi al pinkaso. What's the case of the chenvani, the storekeeper, looking at his ledger that says that the people owe money? So Gemara says, not that he just goes looking at his ledger and says, you owe me such and such amount of money, 200 zuz that you have bought on credit. Ella, Omar le ten livni satayim chitim. The individual says to the, or sends a message to the storekeeper to give 2 sa'ah worth of wheat to his son. Tain le poali b'sela ma'ot. You give my workers their deserved wage from the asela ma'ot. You can break down the asela into smaller component parts and then give it to them, or what their wages are that they earned. So Omer, the storekeeper, says, natati. He says, I gave it to them. V'hein omrim, and they say, those that are supposed to be the recipients, whether it's the son or the workers, lo natalnu, we never received it. Hu nishba v'notel. The storekeeper takes a shvuah, and then he collects from the balabayit. The balabayit asks him to do him a favor, to give this wheat to his son, or to pay his workers, and now he has to compensate him for what he did. So therefore, he's nishba v'notel. He takes a shvuah, and then he collects from the balabayit what he's owed for carrying out the instructions of the balabayit. V'hein, the workers who claim that they did not receive the money, hein nishba'im v'notlin, they also take a shvuah, and are able to collect based on that shvuah. because they're obligated, or the Baal Bayit is obligated to compensate them, and now they're claiming they didn't receive anything, so now he has to give them a full-fledged compensation. So over here, both parties who are owed money by the Baal Bayit are nishba v'notel. Amar ben Anas, ketzad, elu v'elu b'adin l'day shvuot shav. How could you do this? In this setup, we guarantee that one of the shvuot is a shvuot shav, is an unnecessary shva, or a shvat sheker. Because it can't be true that both parties, one party says that you owe me the money and I gave it to the workers, and the other workers say we didn't get it. So one of these parties is lying for sure, because either the Chenvani did pay the money and the Poalim are lying and they did receive it, but they're saying they did not receive it, or the other way around. If the Poalim never received it, that means the Chenvani never paid it and he's lying. So one of the two, it can't be true that both parties are asking for compensation here, because it can't be that the Chenvani needs to be compensated if the Poalim never got compensated. On the other hand, if the Poalim got compensated, they can't say they're not getting compensated. So Benana says this is an impossible situation where you can have a situation where both parties are taking a shvua, and the shvua, at least one of them, is a shvuat shav or shvuat sheker. Ella, so what should he do? Who no tell shelo bishvua? That's the girsa in our Mishnah. The Ran, on the other hand, has a girsa who no tell bishvua. Then Chenvani takes a shvua. And the Poalim, the workers, take it without a Shvua. One of the two parties, or maybe both of the parties, are exempt from the Shvua in order to prevent a situation where one of the parties is for sure lying. So now, Amar the Chenvani, he said to the storekeeper, "Ten libi dinar peirot. Give me a dinar's worth of peirot." Venatano, and he did that. Amar lo, ten li oto dinar. The Chenvani, the storekeeper, says, "Pay me the dinar that you owe me for those peirot." I already gave it to you, but natato bonfully, and I put it inside of your money pouch. So then yishava balabait, the balabait over here will take a shvua shenatan lo et dinar, that he already compensated him, that he placed the dinar into the money pouch. Now Rashi says, what does it mean yishava balabait? Shava balabait is a shvat haseit. Shvat haseit is because he's a kofer bakol here. He denies owing any money. He says, I already compensated you, I owe you no money. The problem with Rashi's explanation, which is both raised by Tosafot over here and Rabbi Kiva Eger, is that we know that Shvuot HaSeit does not exist in the time of the Tanaim. So how could that be a part of the Mishnah, or how could that be what the Mishnah is discussing, if Shvuot HaSeit only is put into effect in the time of Rav Nachman and the time of the Amoraim? So why is Rashi talking about Shvuot HaSeit? Rashi himself on Memched Amud Bet says that in the Zman HaTanaim there was no Shvuot HaSeit. So what exactly is the Shvua that they're taking over here? So Tosfos on Memched Amud Aleph makes the suggestions. When we get there to the Gemara over there, we'll discuss the suggestions of Tosafot about what Shvua is taken here. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, Rabbi Kiva Eger here has a case, or makes up a case, where it's possible that he would have to take a Shvua. And he calls it Chenvani Peirot Biado. The Chenvani is here, and he still has the fruits in his hands. Still hasn't gone the home, the purchaser. And the storekeeper asks from him, Oto Dinar. And the storekeeper asks from this individual for the money that he owes him. They should be machmir in this case not to let him go without a shavua, because the other cases are where one of the parties has already left, meaning that he's given him the fruits and he took the fruits home, and now he's asking for the money. Or we're going to see the next case coming up, a case where he gave the money already and he left, and now he's asking for the fruits. Over here, both parties are still present. Since both parties are still present, that's what Rabbi Kiva Eger says, that he shouldn't go without a shvua. But we're not talking about a shvat heseit in this case, or in this instance, because it doesn't exist in the Zman HaTanaim. Natano et dinar, he gave him, the Baal Bayit gave him the money. Amarlo, ten li et peirot. He says, now give me the fruits that you owe me. Amarlo, netatim lecha v'lachtim letoch beitech. I already gave them to you and I put them in your house. So yishava chenvani, the chenvani will take a shvua that he actually did that, and then he'll be patur. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kosher peirot biyado, yado al yona. Whereas the peirot in his possession, he has the better situation over here. He's got the upper hand over here. So Rabbi Yehuda is actually arguing on the reisha, in the case that it says yishava balabait shenatan lo et adinar, in that case v'at Rabbi Yehuda le'mer in tzarich shvua, he doesn't have to give any shvua shein derech chenvani amocher shlo bakafa li'ten et haperot that yishava adinar, that a person doesn't sell on credit. The chenvani wants the money first and then gives out the peirot. The fact that the balabait has the peirot already is an indication that the chenvani got his money. So over here the chenvani can't make a demand for payment and then the person has to take a shvua. I could just say I paid you already, and we assume that is correct, and we'll see that in the next case by the case of Shulchani, that that's Rabbi Yehuda position, which Amar lo shulchan ten li b'dinar ma'ot. He says, I'm going to give you a dinar. Can you break it down into smaller coins? Amar lo ten li et ha'dinar. and he gives, the Shochani gives him these the change. He says, please pay me the dinar. I already gave it to you, but beonfully, and I put it into your money sack. Yishava balabait, right? Then the balabait will take a shvua that he actually put the money into the money sack. Natano with the dinar. On the other hand, if the money changer handed the money, the dinar to the money changer, give me the change. I already gave it to you. And you already put it into your wallet. Yishava shulchani. Then the shulchani is the one who takes the shvua that he gave the money and that he no longer needs to pay him the change that he has. So again, Rabbi Yehuda going back on the first case of the Shulchani says again that a Shulchani does not give out change until he's gotten the money. He doesn't give out money on credit. He waits to get compensated and then he breaks the money down. So in that case, the Balabait does not have to take a Shavu'ah because the Balabait, the assumption is that he paid. Otherwise, the money changer would never have given him the change. So now the Gemara says, Kishem Shamru, just like we say by a Pogemet Ktubata, a woman who agrees that her Ktubah is partially paid already, Loti therefore, to collect on the remainder of her ktubah, she must take a shvuah that she has not collected the whole amount yet. Or just like in a case, you have a single aid in an obligation, whether it's a loan document, whether it's a ktubah that comes along and says that it was already paid, the person may not collect on that loan document or may not collect from the ktubah except the shvuah. Also, when one wants to collect from nechasim mishubadim umi nechasim yitomim lo tifrai lebishvua, someone wants to collect from encumbered property, that is that there was property that was sold after the existence of the loan, meaning that the creditor claims that his obligation, the obligation to him precedes those of the people who purchased the property, and therefore he can go and take the property as compensation for his loan. If he's going to go take that away from those in Mishubadim, he has to take a shvua that he has not collected the loan and that he's entitled to collect the money over here. And Nechsei Yitomim, someone comes to collect from Yitomim, they say that your father was obligated money to us and you have to pay back. We have a shtar, we have some sort of evidence to the fact that there's a loan outstanding. You may not collect from these Yitomim who cannot respond because they don't know what their father did. Therefore, you have to take a shvua that you are entitled to this money. You were never compensated and the money is still outstanding and then you can collect from it. And a woman who collects her ktubah without, when her husband is not present, when he's not around, loti frala b'shva, she has to take a shva that she didn't already collect her ktubah, didn't already receive monies for her ktubah. So in all these cases, we know the cases that they must take a shva. V'chein, just like in all those cases, you must take a shva. So too, a yitomim lo yifru ala b'shva. So too, orphans may not collect except with the shva. This means yitomim from other yitomim may not collect except with the shva. What is it, the shva that they take? Right, that our father never told us what to do or never told us anything about this loan. Our father never told us that this was already compensated or that this loan was already forgiven. We didn't find any shovar, any indication of a receipt amongst his shtarot that says that this shtar was not completely fulfilled or paid already. So since there's a lack of evidence in this case, or they're taking a shvuah to the fact or the effect that the outstanding loan, they have no reason to believe that it was repaid because their father didn't say anything to them. They didn't find anything in his piles of shtarot. They didn't find any information. And also, they didn't find any information from their father himself. Again, the only way they could know that is if they found the shtar or if their father gave them specific instructions. So they're taking a shvuah that neither of those two items happened, and therefore they can take the money or claim the money from the other yitomim. Even if a son is born after the father already passed away, this child who is the claimant comes to take the money. He can take a shvuah and take that money. He takes a shvuah that he has no shovar, that there is no receipt or that there was no collection of this loan, and then he can collect the money. If we have a deem that at the time of the death of the father that he said that this shtar was not repaid, then you can collect without a shvua because you have a deem to the fact that the loan was outstanding or the obligation was still outstanding. These are a list of individuals who can take a shvua without any claim. They can take a shvua just because they want the shvua or they feel uneasy about a situation, but not because they have any bari claim. They don't have any definitive claim about a loss of money, but just a shema. Maybe something went wrong. What's that? A shutvim? These are partners, varisin, and sharecroppers, vapitropin, or people who are guardians of estates. Vaisha noseit v'notene b'tocha bayit. Right, this is a woman who transacts with the money of the house. Ubena bayit, and also someone who is a member of the household who is transacting on behalf of the household. Amalo ma'at toanini. So if you say that the person, the defendant over here says, what's your claim? What am I taking the shvua about? I just want you to take a shvua that you haven't cheated, haven't taken anything. Chayav. In that case, they have to take the shvua, even though there's no claim. There's no absolute claim over here. Chilku. If they already divided up the property, I mean, ashutfim, they dissolved the partnership and they divided up the assets. Very similar, the sharecropper already paid out the value to the balabayit as well as the sharecropper. And yocholash bio, that's gone away. The ability to take a shvuah or obligate them in a shvuah has now been removed. Nitzgalgulo shvuah mimakom acher. On the other hand, if they do have a shvuah or obligated in a shvuah for another reason, then megalgin alevet akol. Then it can be megalgel on this to take a shvuah about the partnership or about the sharecroppers to say that they dealt with it honestly. Ve'ashviit mishametet et ha'shvuah. Not only is shviit mishametet the monetary obligations, it's also mishametet shvuah. The obligation to take a shvuah is also knocked off by shviit, just like monetary obligations are knocked off by the shviit. The Gemara says, "Kol nishmaim shbetorah nishmaim v'lo mashalmim." We saw in the beginning of the Mishnah that the shvuah midoraisa is a shvuah. A person takes a shvuah and does not pay or does not compensate. I mean, they're otherwise obligated in money. The shvuah is poter them from having to pay that money. Minolan, how do we know this? Damar kor, the pasuk says, "V'lakach ba'alav v'lo yishalem." Right, the ba'alav will take it, meaning that they will make a statement of a fact, and then v'lo yishalem, and they will not pay. Misha alav l'shalem lo ashvuah. The one who is obligated to pay is the one who has to take the shvuah in this instance. So over here we're talking about the parsha of Shomer Sachar, and over there it says v'lakach be'alav. The balav will accept. What's the beginning of the pasuk? Shvuat Hashem tiyah ben shneihem im lo shalach yado ben lechet reihu. He will accept the shvuah v'lo yishalem, and there will be no compensation. So who's the one taking the shvuah? The one should otherwise be compensating over here. The shvuah is in place of the compensation. Zeilu nishbaim benotlim. Here's our Mishnah. These are the people who take shvuah benotlim. Well, the first case is sachir, case of a wage earner. He's the one who has to take he's able to take a shvuah over here and then collect his wages. Where it says ma'ishna sachir to the kinu le'rabona dimishtaba v'shokil. Why is the sachir so special that the chamim came over here and instituted some sort of shvuah that he can come and then collect his money? So Yehuda Mishmol halachot gidolot shanukan. We're talking over here. We have some big halachot that are being discussed here. The Gemara says halachot. What do you mean, halachot? Hani hilchot aninu. These are not halachot. These are not dinim deoraisa or dinim halachot lemosh misinai. Eleima takanot gedolot. These are takanot chachamim. So that's a takanot gedolot. Gemara Shanu Kan. Gemara says gedolot. You're talking about takanot gedolot. Michal deikak tanot. That means that they're smaller takanot. This is a big takana. Where are the small takanot over here? Elam Rav Nachum and Mishmol takanot kivuot Shanu Kan. Now that over here we talked about fixed or well-established takanot of the chachamim, that this should be the case. What is that? What is the takanot kvuot? Akru rabban l'shvuah mi-balabayit. The one who should be taking the shvuah over here is the balabayit. They took it away from the balabayit, v'shadyua sachir, and they placed it on the sachir in order for him to collect, mishum kedei chayav, because he's the one who is dependent on his salary or his wages to live. So in order to protect him, we gave him the ability to take a shvuah. It says, "Mishum kedei chayav the sachir kansin and lay the balabait." Just because we're worried about the livelihood of the sachir, we punish the balabait, so he's no longer a believer. He no longer can take the shvuah. Why should we penalize the balabait just because we're trying to help out the sachir here? It says, "Balachabait gufei nechalei demishtaba sachir v'shakil." The balabait likes the situation where the sachir can take a shvuah and collect over here. Keichedid garun leipolim, because the chalim will be willing to come with him. They realize that this person listens. When you take a shvuah, he's going to compensate you, that he's an honest individual, and therefore it'll draw other poalim, have other workers who want to come and work with him. Where it says, that the sachir would prefer that the balabait takes the shvuah v'nafko, and then he's patur. Because then this worker will be sought after. He listens to the balabait. The balabait says, nothing here, no compensation. And he goes, okay, if you say that you paid me already, I listen to you. So then people want to hire this worker because he's an honest guy. Where it says, balabait al kochei agar. So he says that the balabait has to hire workers. So balabait has no choice in the matter. So he's the one who wants to get himself ashamed to over establish that he's a good employer. Where it says, sachir nami al kochei mitgar. When he's done, but the sachir also has to hire himself out. He has to make a living. So you also have to hire himself out. So this can't be the reason why we give special attention to the sachir over here. Ella, this is the answer. The Gemara says, balabait tarud bepo'alavu. The balabait is business, is busy with his business. The Rishami says the Ruba Pala means that he has asakav, that he's involved in all of his business transactions, and therefore he's not focused on each individual item. He has a large number of items on his plate, and therefore he can forget about one detail in those items. On the other hand, the way our Gemara expresses it is Terubi Po'olav is with his other workers. Although the Gemara never differentiates whether he's only one worker or multiple workers, Gemara still says that the Kana is in place. So that's why the Yushalmi makes a little bit more sense that he's involved in his business, and therefore he's not so focused on the Po'al. So Gemara says, Relatively below Shvua. Well, if he's so busy with his other business and he'll forget that whether he paid or he didn't pay this individual, let the Sakhir come and say, you didn't pay me yet, then pay him without a Shvua. We want to make sure that the Balabait is satisfied here that he's not double paying. So he's saying, take a Shvua in order that the Balabait feels comfortable with paying you here and that he's not compensating double. So Gemara says, Relatively be'edim. So why doesn't he just compensate with Edim? We can solve the whole problem here if the Baal Bayit always compensates his Schirim, his hired workers, his laborers in front of Edim. Gemara says, Trichalei Milto. That's a big pain to do that. That's a lot of work, meaning that he'll have to always get Edim. If Edim wants to pay, it's going to make it very difficult for him if he wants to compensate his employees that he has to always have Edim around. So Gemara says, Relatively Mikara, why don't we prepay the Sakhir? Let him pay beforehand. Then we won't have any questions about whether he paid or not, because he already paid him. And then the Sakhir will do the work. Gemara says, Shnehem Rotzim Ba'kafa. They both want it to be done on credit. They both want the Sakhir to work and then can compensate in the end. Why? The Baal Bayit wants time to get money. Sometimes he doesn't have the cash on hand, so he wants time to collect the money in order to compensate the Sakhir. And the Sakhir also doesn't want to get his wages till the end of the day. He doesn't want to have the money that he's going to spend during the day, but rather he'll have the money at the end of the day so he can use it for his needs or for his household needs instead of having it be spent before he gets to the point in time where he can spend it on his household needs. Where it says, if this is the case that the Baal Bayit forgets about the workers, he's not always on top of the situation with the workers, why don't we say over here that he also, even in a case where they argue about what the level of the wages is, they argue about whether his wage was 2 or 1, why don't we say over here that the Baal Bayit forgets, and therefore the Uman should be believed, or the Sakhir should be believed, and he should be able to take a Shavua and get his money. But that's not what we have. Allah Matanya, we have in a Braisa, Uman Omer Shtaim Katsatzdili, the artisan or the craftsman says, you were going to pay me 2. Allah Omer Lo Katsatzdili, the Baal Bayit says, no, I'm only going to pay you 1. Mosim Mechaver Olav Araya. Whoever wants the burden of proof now is on the Uman who wants to take out more money, he's got to prove that he's owed more money. So why over there we don't say that the Baal Bayit is Tarud Basakav, he's in busy with his business and he doesn't remember this? Where it says, Ktsitsa Vade Midkar Dechirle. The prices that they set, the wages that they set, that's something the Baal Bayit doesn't forget about. That's something that's on a priority for him on the top of his mind. He knows what the price that he's going to pay, that he knows, because that's part of his business. About whether he paid or not paid, that's something he will forget. If this is the case, so if the Baal Bayit is Tarud, then even if it passes the time where the Sakhir, the normal time in which a Sakhir gets compensated, then we should still say that the Baal Bayit is Tarud and the Sakhir should be able to take a Shavua and collect. But that's not the case. Allah Matanya, we have a Braisa, Avar Zmano, Vononatano. The time, the normal time for his compensation passed, that is for a Sakhir Yom, someone who works during the day, he has all night to be paid, or someone who works Sakhir Laila and works at night, he has all the subsequent day to be paid. If that time is already passed, then Arizeno Nishbam Notel. That ability or that right to be Nishbam Notel goes away. Why is that? So Mar says, Chazak ain't Baal Bayit over Bebal Talin. The Baal Bayit will never leave it past the time where he'll be over in Isur Doraita where he doesn't compensate the workers. Mar says, Vamar, it's Baal Bayit Tarud Bepoalav. Oh, didn't you just say to us before that that's exactly the problem here? He's busy with his other work, and therefore he would forget. Where it says, Hane ma'ele kamed lim tu zman chiyuvu. That's only before the time that the obligation comes to hand. Kimatu zan chiyuvu rami anapshi amidkar. He's going to force himself to remember that which it is or what he's supposed to pay. So Mar says, v'chi sachiro ver mishum bal tigzol. So wait, now you have a chazakah for the Baal Bayit that when it comes to the Zman of Baal Talin that he will pay no matter what. He won't be over in Isur Doraita. So we say, well, who says that? Why would a Sakhir, the employee himself, the wage earner over here, why would he be violating a Doraita? Why would he be willing to be over Mishum Lo Tigzol? If he makes a double claim over here, he's going to be stealing from the Baal Bayit. Why don't we say he would, a chazakah that he doesn't want to violate a Isur Doraita? It says, Gabi Baal Bayit, Ika Trei Chazkei. By the Baal Bayit, there are actually 2 chazakot. One, chadadeinu Baal Bayit over Baal Talin. One is that the Baal Bayit does not violate Baal Talin. V'chadadein sachir mishes charo. And the other chazakah is that the sachir does not allow for the time when he's normally compensated to pass and not ask for for his compensation. It would never be that he's asking for the compensation after the normal time period where he should have been compensated. Nobody waits that long. So since he doesn't wait that long, and the balabai wouldn't be over Baltalin, once we reach over Avar Bizmano, once we pass the normal time of compensation, we assume that the Puel has been compensated at that point in time. So the Tosos over here says, well, I have a great solution here. Why should the Poel ever have to be Nishbav and Otel? You know what we should do? Every time that we have an uncertainty, the Poel comes to us and says, I didn't get paid. Well, just wait. Wait till the Zman is over, and when we'll have the Chazaka, that the Baal Bayit will never let it go past the Baal Talin, and he'll compensate him at that time. So Tosos says that the Chazaka of the Baal Bayit not being over Baal Talin is only in conjunction with the other Chazaka, that a Sakhir is not Mishaheh, that he doesn't wait and not claim his money. So since we assume that the Sakhir claimed his money, plus the Balabait's not over about the lien, those two together will force or will say to us that we assume that he was compensated in this case. The case that we just invented, what Tosus invented, said there he's already making a claim. The Sakhir is coming in this mind and making his claim. So if that's the case, the Chazak of Baltalin is not so strong anymore. It's not strong enough to stand by itself. It's only in conjunction with the other Chazakah of the Poel that we say to those together are able to stand up against the Chazakah of Lotigzol of the Poel. And that for that reason, Tosa says again that the Chazakah of that he's not over Baal Talin, plus the Chazakah of Eina Mishaheh, it's not that it's 2 versus 1, but those two Chazakot together equal the other Chazakah of the Poel. They equal the Chazakah that the Poel won't violate Lo Tigzol. So now you have Chazakah against Chazakah, the Chazakot drop away, and now we say, Amotzi Michavero Olav HaRaya. But not that this is a trump card, that he has 2 Chazakot and he trumps the 1 Chazakah, because that's not the case here. It's not that strong a Chazakah, because we know that he's Tarud B'Masav, and all of a sudden, Pitom, he's going to just remember to go ahead and pay him because he doesn't want to be over Baal Talin. We say only because we also assume that the Poel asked for his money within the time period, and between those two items, that's why he'll remember and not violate Baal Talin. Tosus also asks, why is it that the Chamim moved the Shfuah away from the Baal Bayit? Because if we say over here that the Baal Bayit, when it comes to be violated in Isur Doraisa first in Baal Talin, that he would not violate Baal Talin and he would pay the worker, why don't we say the same thing by a Shavuah? If he has to take a Shavuah, Rami Anapshe, he'll think through it clearly and say, listen, I don't want to be violated Shavuah Sheker. He'll make sure that he really paid him. So Tosa says, talk to us about the psychology of a person, that a person, once they begin to deny the fact that they owe money, even if they find evidence to the contrary afterwards, they will not then admit. Once a person has already said no, they will not admit that they were wrong because they don't want to be chuksak kafran. They want to be viewed as someone who was a denier or a liar, and therefore they changed their mind. So even though we're Rami Alei Shvua, we put a Shvua on him, at that point in time, we don't think that he is going to come to the truth. Even if he does, when through the Shvua, it shakes him up and he remembers the truth, he may not say it because he doesn't want to reverse his position where he denied before that he owed the money. Now again, the case of he doesn't want to be over Baal Talin, that only works in conjunction with the other Chazakah that a Sakhir doesn't wait to get his compensation, he asked for it. So those two together, when they're put together, can create a single Chazakah. But the Chazakah by itself, while not being violating a Doraisa, that would not be enough because of this psychology that a person does not want to reverse their position of a Kufr B'Kol. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll continue this whole Sugya. We'll continue tomorrow. We'll start with this Sugya and go through tomorrow's Daf with the remainder of today's Amud.